local.
Live and local.
This is Sactown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m. halfway through the show. Man, oh man. Back to backs, they really got them. They got them good, too.
Yeah. It's like, it's just not, like, just nothing. You got really, I mean, yeah, De'Aaron showed up yesterday. Sasha, for the most part, showed up. I mean, career high 13 for him. So you got to give him, his credit there. But it's, you just got to have a better team performance. Again, like on the second night of a back-to-back, you got to rely on the other guy. Like, it shouldn't even be De'Aaron. Like, great, De'Aaron had 40, but if anybody deserves a night off on second nights of back-to-backs, it's the stars. It's the guys who get you there. And you got to have, you know, some of your bench guys. You got to have a nice Kevin Herter night on those second nights.
That one kills you.
It helps. It helps a lot.
That one kills you. 7 points from Kevin Herter is just not going to get
just
it done.
You just with no stress.
Well, one thing we haven't even mentioned, yeah, sure, there's still no Keegan Murray.
Yep, for sure.
So we still need you, Kevin.
Yeah, absolutely.
We still need you.
The shooting. You have to have the shooting. And yeah, you know, for sure. Yeah, if you want to throw another, not you, but I'm saying if anyone wants to throw an extra excuse or reason in there, absolutely. Keegan Murray not being in there is massive. We haven't talked about it yet, but you know, yeah, Keegan's one of the 6'8s, right? He's one of the 6'8, 6'9s. And what does the Clippers have a plethora of? They've got the Paul George and they got the Kawhi Leonard. The Kings don't have a lot of guys to match up with those guys. And I think that was a big problem with last night, is they were trying to throw Chris Duarte on Paul George. And, you know, Paul George is one of the most elite scorers in the NBA. Like, he can snap that net if you put the wrong person on him. And It was a pretty easy night for pretty much all of their guys last night. And I think, you know, Keegan has been, you could argue, the Kings' best defender this season on ball, and they didn't have him. They didn't have him in a night where they really could have used him.
Right.
Not only on offense either.
The makeup of this team, and it's not just against the Kings, any team, if they do figure it out, in the Clippers.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul George, 19. Kawhi Leonard, 34. Dare I say a vintage performance from Kawhi Leonard?
I would say so.
Dare I say a vintage performance from James Harden? So you had two guys there, 25 plus. Kawhi Leonard had 34. James Harden had 26. Paul George had 19. So Paul George essentially took the night off offensively. You didn't need it from him. And then you had Zubac, which with 14, he almost had a double-double. So it's a rough go. Defensively, I think sometimes they were letting Kawhi chill. Kawhi was on Herter, and maybe that's part of it. Maybe that's why there was no offense, because you have two elite. We talked about it before the game. You have two elite two-ways in Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and you're missing one of your scoring threats. So it's just, all right, De'Aaron, we can let De'Aaron cook. I don't even know how many times it was Kawhi on De'Aaron or Paul George on De'Aaron. They just said De'Aaron cannot beat us alone. And then when you, out of nowhere, Zubac is able to shut down Sabonis, we talk about this team and the definition of being one-dimensional. That's pretty rough. That's just not going to get it done. I mean, yeah, Kawhi Leonard, man. And I'm a guy who, I don't know what to do with Kawhi Leonard. Right, his. We did the percentages for Hall of Fame, and Kawhi was a little bit lower than I think some people thought. But he's missed a lot of time, and you know there have been so many conversations about how he feels about the game, the injuries, or whether he wants to play. I don't know what to do with Kawhi. All I know is when he locks in, he's clearly still a problem.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm sorry. I keep looking over at our TVs over here because I see NBA Today just started. And what do they talk about in the A block? The first thing that they're talking about today on NBA TV, or I'm sorry, on NBA Today, did the Clippers prove they can contend after win on road over Kings?
Hey.
And like,
that's good for the Kings.
It is.
That's a good look for the Kings.
I think you said it. It might have been yesterday where the Kings are in this weird zone where it's like, they're a good win. And, you know,
they're a good win, but they're not a bad loss.
Not a bad loss.
So a lot of teams are going
to
go in
nothing
feeling loose.
Yeah, for sure.
Feeling loose, playing with house money, and the Clippers did. Now the Clippers are on the other side of the back-to-back. As you mentioned earlier, the average for road back-to-backs this season is 9, which is the lowest it's been ever or in a very long time. So they got to go up against a hungry. This will be a good game tonight.
Yeah.
going up against a hungry Warriors team who's trying to get back on the winning side of things. Yeah. So,
and now the Clippers don't have that negative feelings going into the game, if that makes sense. Like the Warriors are that side where they're trying to punch up they're trying to show, oh no, we are class as well.
It's not an apocalypse.
Exactly. We're actually fine. I promise.
With the dog and the whole,
this is fine.
This is fine, and everything is on fire. That's the Warriors right now. But as we talk about De'Aaron Fox, that is Steph. Somebody should just put Steph's head on the dog, and everything is fine at this point. Or Steve Kerr, by the way. So let's get to NBC Sports California. Our own Kyle Draper was chatting last night with Matt Barnes, and the question came up, could De'Aaron Fox go down as the best Sacramento King of all time? Let's see what they have to say.
You could argue when it's all said and done, and maybe not even that, in the next few years, he'll go down as the greatest Sacramento King ever.
I'm not mad at that statement even as of now, and that's saying a lot with some of the names you just listed.
Right.
But all that is predicated upon winning.
Right.
You know, you can score individually and be great, but the true greatness shows on how far you can take your team.
Yes.
You saw what C. Webb was able to do to this, you know, take these team guys to the Western Conference Finals and get cheated by the refs and not be able to go to the finals. So everything is predicated upon winning. Obviously, scoring is great, but you got to get your team there with you.
Boom.
It's interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's...
Hold on. That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting conversation. I wonder the same, if De'Aaron can get to that point. And I wonder if success is ultimately going to be the thing that is the final step for it. Because I would say individually, if you look at numbers, and of course, the way that the NBA is played in today's age doesn't necessarily do the early 2000s many favors. Like, Peja, you could argue, would have averaged 35 points a game in today's NBA. When you look at the numbers, it seems like De'Aaron definitely is. I just wonder if truly De'Aaron does have to reach some sort of playoff milestone in order for him to, no pun intended, but I guess kind of, get the crown.
I think I would say yes, because that's how you are remembered.
Sure.
And I saw our own Joe Giros in the YouTube chat.
Normally, I would say yes, but this is also a special case. The Sacramento Kings are a different kind of beast.
No, I hear you, but they have already
expectations had success,
are different now that you've gone to the playoffs and you've been so close and you're going up against a different giant. And, you got not that the Warriors are the only team they're going to play in the playoffs. I hope not, to be completely honest with you. But I do think that it's got to be part of it, because as Joe Giroux said on the YouTube chat, when we were talking about teams that had really good offense or really good defense but didn't really scare anybody, were a good story, a cute story, Joe said any team with Carmelo Anthony. And Carmelo Anthony is a guy who...
Yeah, right.
A really curious case. Now, he had an era in Denver and an era in New York, and Carmelo Anthony is not the best. He's not the best New York Knick of all time, and he's now not the best Nugget of all time.
We talk about Olympic Mello
about Hoodie Mello. Yeah. So if you're De'Aaron Fox, I think that the only way – here's the thing, though, Chris. I would say you can make the argument with the team and how it's presently constructed with Mike Brown and the front office and everything that they have going on. I would make the – what's easier, right? Having what? One MVP, multiple MVPs are getting as far as those 2000 Kings did. I don't know. It's both tough. But I think, to your point, you got to get something. You got to either get an MVP.
Yeah, because no King had ever won MVP before. So it's like, like you're saying, like that kind of puts you...
Right.
That almost eclipses team success almost. But also MVP probably comes hand in hand with team success as
Very
well.
True.
So it's kind of a chicken or the egg situation. But I think let me try and think of more what would be the case if De'Aaron doesn't, because Chris Webber reached the Western Conference Finals. He reached Game 7. They won 3 games. You got as humanly close as possible to making the NBA Finals, and they probably would have won that NBA Finals as well without actually doing it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you make it 7 games and you take it all the way to the wire. Does De'Aaron have to make a conference final in order for him to be the best player in Kings history? I kind of don't think so. Like, I think that I could see a world. I mean, it would take...
And also not win an MVP? Neither.
Yes, I think it would take like 4 or 5 years of repeated success of definitely some multiple round playoff appearances, like second round if you're not making the conference finals. But, I mean, I would say overall statistically, he's got a case for it, absolutely, even if he doesn't ultimately get the same, reach the same heights that guys like Chris Webber. I mean, really, realistically, the guys who are also in the conversation are Chris Webber, Mitch Richmond, and if you want to throw DeMarcus Cousins in there, but I don't know if anyone would ever put DeMarcus at the actual top of that list.
Yeah,
and then it's like, who's most talented, who's right. the best individual, and who had the best Kings career. They're all nuanced conversations.
Yeah, and we know the mindset of De'Aaron, and he wouldn't want this crown based on longevity.
Right.
He doesn't want to be because he's Frank Gore.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Longest tenured king.
You're right. Yeah, so we got to give it to him. Exactly. Yeah. You were just there the longest. I mean, with Alonzo Mourning, and he's the best on the, on the heat, or you know what I mean? So I don't know. I think there are a lot of ways to kind of look at this, but I do think he'll be in the conversation. I think that you got to get as far as Chris Webber or an MVP. You got to get something. Something to be remembered by.
Yeah, it's got, yeah. I mean, he's got the clutch player of the year. That's a step.
It ain't
enough. That's helping.
It is, but I wouldn't say it's
accolades. You know?
That can't be the only thing.
No, it's got to be additive. You got to stack on top of that as well. You can't just have that and have that be your main case. But yeah, I think the thing that I'm most surprised at is, I mean, not watching it this year, but I wouldn't have thought, and I know I'm definitely on the minority side of this, but just when De'Aaron first came in here, I just never thought this would be a part of his conversation. I thought De'Aaron would be good. Mm-hmm. I didn't think he would ever be anywhere near this MVP level caliber that he's showing here today. So, you know, I say that to say I could doubt him. I could say, I don't think he can ever reach conference finals or ever get to the point of being the best, but He's proved me wrong so much already. It really wouldn't surprise me if in the next 3 to 4 years he does reach some sort of accolade or some sort of level that is comparable to the best that has ever been done here.
Yeah, and you know, say Alonzo Mourning is really Udonis Haslam, right? You don't want to be, is he the best player on the best Heat ever because he just never went away? I'll give you this, and we got to get to it. You could make the argument, we could talk about this on the other side.
Yeah.
You can make the argument that as much as Kings fans have to deal with everything that comes with Tyrese Halliburton, knowing the mindset of De'Aaron Fox, I think that you should actually be rooting for Tyrese Halliburton because I think that De'Aaron Fox
drives him,
gets that chip on his shoulder. Yeah. And I think that you don't want Tyrese Halliburton to fall off. You want him to keep balling because I think De'Aaron Fox will continue to prove that I'm right there with them. And if that team continues to have success over the Pacers, I think that can help as well. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we're talking more De'Aaron Fox. And yes, as we do, the trade machine. Are any trades going to happen before whenever February 8th at 11 a.m. with 2 seconds, 2 minutes left? We'll talk about it and who Chris Watkins wants to bring over to Sacramento. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Taking up to 2 p.m. De'Aaron Fox conversation, trade generator conversation. I mean, does getting OG Anunoby, do you now show up during back-to-backs? Is that what's going to help you, Kings? Is that what's going to help you? Because you got 13 more games with no rest. How will you perform? You cannot continue to mail it in. And we went back and forth, and you and Nate kind of came at me because, they're down 25 at one point. In today's NBA, is that really blowout? Was last night a blowout?
It was creeping towards blowout territory, that's for sure. I mean, when it's on 25, like, that's, I mean, for all intents and purposes, that's a blowout.
Let's talk about the levels. You have good game.
Yep.
You have a win.
Like
you have a
five.
Win. You have a win.
Yep.
You have a good game.
Mm-hmm.
You have, I guess, a good effort. And then you have something
it's
in
like
between.
10.
It's yeah. something in between good effort and blowout.
I feel like 25 is where, I mean, like when you're down 20 plus, that's, you got to really put in some effort. Like there's going to be multiple timeouts before you end up tying that game back up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that feels, because I mean, yeah, it's more so if you're up by 20 and then you lose the 20 point lead, mm-hmm. would you not be disappointed? Would you not say like that? I mean, what, the Warriors hadn't blown a 20 plus point lead in the second half since, what did Bonte, I think Bonte said in that video where he called you out. He was like
2011.
I think 2011 yeah. he said. So like that's pretty massive. Like yeah, if you can't come back from it, then yeah. that sounds to me like you're getting blown out in the games for all intents and purposes all right. over. So I would say 20 is probably that line, but you know, even if you're in the, you know, 15 plus range, you're mm-hmm. you're definitely not doing well for yourself.
No, that's fair. That's fair. And what could help that, or who could help that? OG Anunoby, we know we've heard a lot about him in Toronto. And look, if you don't have League Pass, we're here to help you. He did not play in those finals. He was injured in 2019. And if you don't have League Pass, or if you don't live in the 666 and you're hanging out with Drizzy, you might not have seen OG play too much. So Chris has yep. some numbers to kind of help us figure out who OG is as a player and how he could help this Kings team.
Yeah, so I saw this tweet this morning that laid out OG's defensive numbers, or some of his defensive highlight numbers so far this season. Because, I mean, I think we talked about it after the first or second New Orleans game where I kind of had this epiphany where the Kings don't even have body. It's one thing to not be able to slow Zion down, but it's another thing to just not even have anywhere near an answer. Like not even, I don't have the tools to even start
right.
to try and attack that problem. And that you saw kind of a similar thing last night with Kawhi and Paul George where, yeah, no one's going to be able to stop those guys,
no.
but you got to at least try. You got to at least say, well, we've got this thing that I think is meant to be a Hulk stopper, so let's try that out. That's where OG comes in. And looking at these numbers, it looks like OG might be able to do a whole lot more okay. than just get in their way. So far, this is just this season. Mm-hmm. OG Anunoby against some of the stars in the NBA. This is their stats while being guarded by OG Anunoby. DeMar DeRozan this season, he was 3 of 14 in a game, shot 21% when guarded by OG. Victor Wembanyama, who's a guy who, what, they had Keegan guard Victor, they had De'Aaron at point switch on, HB was switched on Victor. He was 4 of 11 when guarded by OG Anunoby, 36%. Anthony Edwards, another guy that we saw the Kings had to blitz him with two people. They had to use two people yeah. to slow down Anthony Edwards. Or you could just put one guy on him named OG Anunoby. He went 1 for 10 in that game.
Real quick, because you just reminded me of something.
Yeah.
You were at the game last night. The blitzing, I know James Harden turned back the clock a little bit, yeah. but did you really need to blitz him?
No, that was not the right team. That was not the right team. That was not the right team to blitz, because you saw why blitzing worked against the Warriors.
Yeah.
You make Saric, you make Moses Moody have to hit those yes. threes. You can live with a loss like that. The problem with the Clippers is you blitz Harden. Well, now you have Kawhi, who's a 40% shooter. You have Paul George, who's mm-hmm. a 40% shooter. Like, and you have maybe Norm Powell in the corner
Terrence Mann.
Terrence Mann is a decent shooter.
Yeah, but even Terrence Mann, he was dribbling in, yeah. and everybody's
right.
out of sorts.
Starts collapsing.
A team like that, which yeah. is funny because, right, you have a Moody in the corner who is, what, a third-year player.
Yeah.
That's a lot different than a Terrence Mann who they kind of move at their own pace, the
yeah.
Clippers do. That was really bizarre to me. It was
not the right move.
Chris, it was a replay over
yeah.
and over again.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that it was working.
No, it didn't work once.
It was bizarre to me.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either. I felt like I almost said it yesterday on the show where it was like, you know, the Kings had been running a lot of blitzes and had been running a lot of zone, and those are two things that you just can't do with the talent that the Clippers have, because
no.
you can't just leave Paul George or definitely not James Harden isolated on an
yeah.
island. That's what they want. That's
yeah.
what they're living for. So, I thought the Clippers yesterday were just a tough matchup, but also think about, I mean, I don't know how an OG and a newbie trade would work, but just for the thought exercise, think about if the Kings were to somehow be able to have OG and a newbie, Keegan Murray, and Harrison Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then that's a whole lot different
yes.
of a plan of attack to try and slow that Clippers team down. So again, just another reason why you might want to think, again, and I don't even know if OG is the perfect guy, but these are just hardcore concrete numbers
right.
of the impact that he's able to have defensively. I'll run through these. I won't go individually, you know, stick on all of them. Franz Wagner, 3 of 8 when guarded by OG this season. Donovan Mitchell was 2 of 7. Devin Booker, 0 of 3. Karl Anthony Towns, 0 of 3. Joel Embiid, 0 of 3. And the thing that I love about that secondary or that second part of that list is those are so many different guys.
Right.
Like he's guarding anyone from DeMar DeRozan and Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell to Victor Wembanyama, Joel Embiid, and Karl Anthony Towns. Mm-hmm. Like that is truly, I mean, that's more 2 through 5, but the Kings, again, don't really have anybody to guard that those kind of positions. They're trying to get Keegan up to that speed, but we're seeing how much it affects his offense as well. And De'Aaron is somebody who Mike Brown talked about Tuesday after the Warrior game. They're having De'Aaron be that guy. And you just can't have that. You talk about guys that Sabonis struggles with, guys who are singularly focused on slowing Sabonis down. Well, what if the Kings had one of those guys every night where you don't have to worry about OG Anunoby's offense. Mm-hmm. It's all pretty much additive, or you're hoping that he gives you a similar performance offensively as Harrison Barnes, which is not much and comes and goes. But on defense, he's actually hyper-focused on just slowing down the other team's best guy. I think that's where, when I think about OG's addition to this team, that's where I'm willing to kind of be a little bit more lenient on the they want so much, and is it really the right move if you go and pay the piper or whatever you want to call Masai, mm-hmm. because he's holding on to his assets like they're expensive pearls,
yes.
or something. So that's where I kind of get a little more lenient on falling for whatever Masai wants and just kind of biting the bullet on it and bringing OG in, because I do think that that's just a really clear and obvious point where the Kings need to get better, and they have nobody for it right now.
Yeah, got to get to a break. When we get back, we've talked about De'Aaron Fox, MVPs, just a question of legacy. How do you measure success? How should success be measured in Sacramento? Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Reacting and possibly overreacting to the Kings losing to the Clippers. Shout out to everybody watching on YouTube. Nate Littlefield, our producer, already has whipped up a meme of Steph Curry as the dog in the famous dog meme with the house on fire, saying this is fine with his coffee on his table. And Nate also added Draymond screaming towards
it's a great touch
towards Steph. So I mean, the double agents listening, or anybody that hops in my mentions again on social media, this will get posted.
Yes.
This will get posted. Don't make me do it. Leave us alone and handle your business, and maybe you could take care of the Clippers, because here on from the 209, Paul George, the Claw, and the Beard looked like Hall of Famers last night. Yes,
they sure did.
They did.
They are. Absolutely. They were great, and like that it was. I had a tweet ready, but the Kings almost did back-to-back nights of allowing 3 of the other team's players to score over 20, and mm-hmm. you're not going to win a lot of games when that's the case, and especially not when guys like James Harden, who haven't been having that good of performances, goes for 26 last night. We talk about Prize Picks a lot,
yeah.
On this, and you know, James Harden's points for last night, if you looked at the projections, they were like 14.5 points.
13.5.
You know why? Because I looked at it, the Clippers going into last night had won 4 of their last 6. I go to NBA.com, check the last 6 games mm-hmm. for the Clippers. James Harden, before last night, was averaging 13.3 points per game in their last 6 games. And that's when they were winning. They were having success,
yeah.
the most success they have had all year long, and it was James Harden taking a major back seat.
Right.
That's been their formula.
Right.
And the Kings allowed James Harden to go off, which he hasn't done all year long, And, I mean, when you have a guy who you're not planning on going crazy, look how good the Kings look when Kevin Huerter or Keegan Murray or Harrison Barnes have it going on top of Sabonis and Fox. That's what last night was for the Clippers. It's you have a guy that you're not really expecting to have this major scoring outburst, and he scores 26. Well, much like the Warriors should have done on Tuesday, you got to take advantage of that. And the Clippers didn't, to their credit.
Yeah, and
or they did, I should say. Well, the Clippers did take advantage.
They definitely did, and when you look, again, if you can kind of hang out as Paul George and put up a ho-hum 19, right, and obviously you still help your team, but you don't have that pressure. We talked about it last night as, is there enough, there's only one ball on the court.
Right.
But if it's just a rotation, right, and if you do play prize picks and you're trying to pick who is going to be that guy, right? Last night it was Paul George, I'm just going to chill. It's a Kawhi night, it's a James Harden night, and that can be the issue because Paul George chilling is still 19. Meanwhile, you have teams like the Kings, again, missing Keegan Murray, but it's De'Aaron Fox 40, Sabonis barely scraped to 11, right? And you have other guys that aren't able to contribute in the same way. Did want to shout out Scooter916 on YouTube because Scooter, you're right. And we almost let Russell Westbrook get away with it.
I heard some bricks last night.
Well, when he did, and I believe it was on Kevin Huerter, he backed him down something. So again, I know we're not on the court. Fans aren't on the court. They just paid their hard-earned money to watch you play and be a part of the, I would say, the just the event as a whole. But Russell Westbrook can't do anything like that. Can't call him Westbrook. Can't do that, or you're gonna. I might get fined today. He might try to fine me today. He's still in California. Still in NorCal. Can't do that. Fans can't say that. That's disrespecting his name. But when you score, but when you score on Kevin Huerter, you can call him a baby.
Yep.
You can call a grown man a baby.
Yep.
Doing the rockabye baby, right? Because that's the only thing you can do. Because you can't shoot a jump shot.
Yeah. I'm a grown man. How dare you disrespect me like that? You know.
You can't shoot a jump shot.
You disrespect my family.
Right.
My parents raised a grown man, and you're calling me a child.
Yep. My son, this is Russell Westbrook. My son is old enough to know what our family name means. So that's not allowed because we don't play basketball. We weren't blessed to be 6'7 or whatever and jump out the gym. So we can't do that. But Kevin Huerter, mind you, I don't know what's more disrespectful, right? Let's talk about it. What's more disrespectful? A fan who you know you're better than in terms of athletically or and financially.
You're doing better in life.
You're doing better in life than this lowly fan that's just calling you Westbrook and not cursing, not doing anything like that, right? What's more disrespectful? A fan doing that. That's the best thing that fan gets to get for their whole week.
Yes.
That's a highlight of their week, going to this game to spend their hard-earned money. They're not in the 1%. Or Russell Westbrook to somebody on your level, in your league, your brotherhood, and you calling him a baby. You are a child to me.
Showing him up as well.
Showing him up.
In front of his fans.
His home fans. You know? His family might be there.
Who knows? Like, what if we've been having conversations all year about Kevin Huerter's defense, and that's like, this drives Kevin Huerter out of town because we're like, oh, Kevin Huerter can't even guard Russell Westbrook.
Right.
He got called a baby by Russell Westbrook. Yeah. He can't guard anybody. Let's get him out of town. Like, what if you're affecting this man's life?
Right.
Like, what if his life is never the same?
Never the same. You know? And you know what? As funny as it is, Russell Westbrook, okay, I'm trying to be respectful here. It's funny that post game, there were no questions to Kevin Huerter about the Rock, anything like that. Right, Kevin Huerter, if there were, he just, hey, let it roll off your back like a duck. That's what my mom always says, right? Just let it roll off your back. So it's funny because you did a rockabye baby on Kevin Huerter, but when people call you Westbrook, you, good sir, are the one that acts like a baby. So Kevin Huerter isn't the baby. You are the baby, not the baby. You are the baby, Russell Westbrook. Because that's what you are. That's why you got to back down people, because you shoot 66% from free throw, okay? And you can't hit the backside of a barn. You know what Russell Westbrook looks like when he's shooting three-pointers? He looks like when you're at a game and they invite somebody down to try to win 25 grand or to win Jamba Juice.
Dude,
shout out to the Jamba Juice guy, by the way, at the game we were at, who
that's
won
right.
everyone Jamba
he won
Juice.
Everybody Jamba Juice. That's what Westbrook looks like when he shoots threes. People don't get upset at things unless it's true. Westbrook knows his numbers have gone down.
Yeah.
That's why it bothers him.
That's why he's sensitive to it.
If somebody called Steph Curry Kerr Brick or something like that, would Steph care?
No. No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't care a little.
He would
probably
true.
Laugh. Yeah.
Because it's not true. So Russell Westbrook, grow up.
Yeah. Well, and also,
you're the baby.
Yeah, that's the thing. And that's what I said initially when we talked about it. It's like, this is a dude who, he started the too small. He has this patented rockabye baby chant. And like, you can't dish it and not be able to give it.
That's right.
Get it, man. Like,
that's right.
That's how this thing works. It's how, it's common sense. It's how life works. And yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, again, if Russell Westbrook wants to come out and say that, you know, fans were saying things other than Westbrook or Westbrick, sure, I'll be on his side. But until I hear that, like, as long as, to our understanding, it's just Westbrook, it's just a nickname, it's just a fun little jab that, again, like you said when we initially talked about this, not cursing, not anything,
right.
Like, pretty above board when it comes to heckling.
Tell us.
Tell us if it's not, because then the conversation changes. But until that happens, bro, you cannot give it and but not be able to take it.
Yeah,
that's
he can dish
it,
but he cannot take it. 916-339-1140. Let's go to Will, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Will? You're on Styles and Watkins. What you got for us?
What's up, Styles and Watkins? How you guys doing, man?
Great. Good. What you got?
Westbrook will be a first ballot Hall of Famer to whoever.
Of course.
Probably will,
Yeah.
Hey, I knew they were going to lose last night. They were drained, man. They were dead. They were dead, tired, you know. But they should have played better D. But I got a question for you guys, man. I got to tell you. And I remember last time we was talking defense, Drake wanted to beat all us up, man. Remember when they played Houston and they got swept? We were saying, man, he got to use his other players. You know, what is the fascination with Brown and Duarte?
Yeah.
You know, Duarte is what? He's about 6'3", 6'4", something like that?
I think he's listed at 6'5", or 6'6".
Yeah.
But he's a guard. I mean, he's probably more guard profile.
Yeah, he's listed at that, but he ain't. You know that. He's still 6'6". But here's the thing. What do you think Paul George said when they tried him out there on him in the beginning of the game?
Barbecue chicken alert.
Yep.
There you go. Give me some hot sauce, man, because I don't know what Brown – sometimes, look, I love Brown. I love him. I love, my boy Durant, Darian Fox, you know, even though sometimes he just throw up free throws. He don't take his time. But here's the thing. If you're gonna put somebody on Paul George, put Kessler Edwards on him. Hey, he might score 50 on Kessler, but you have a better chance with Kessler on him than Duarte on him. I don't get this, how Duarte get these starting positions and he hasn't proved anything yet.
Yeah. No, it's a good call, Will. No, I hear you. You know what it reminds me of when you look at the actual numbers for Chris Duarte and how much he actually played, and we discussed, was it an actual benching? I don't know, because whenever he starts, His minutes don't really change that much. He played 13 minutes, so yeah, a little lower. I think he normally hits 20 when he starts. But you know what it reminds me of? To go back, if you are, you know, not an A's fan, but specifically if you are a Giants fan, with Kapler and Farhan, it reminds me of an opener.
Sure.
Not a starter. Yeah. He's an opener. Yeah. He's just somebody that we're going to put out there.
Totally.
We'll see how it goes, but we're not planning on him. We don't want to affect our mid rotation guys.
Right.
We don't want to affect our closers or our middle relief guys. So we're going to go with this opener, and it's just a bullpen type game, and whoever gets hot will ride from there. I don't think it's ever meant, unless Chris Duarte just gets on an absolute heater, which isn't going to happen. Now, you can have a conversation about that thought process, but I don't think that Coach Mike Brown is putting Chris Duarte out there thinking that he's going to shut anyone down, which begs the question, well, then what's the point? But that's why we've gone back and forth with the Malik Monk conversation.
Right.
And he said, I don't want to change anybody's minutes.
Exactly.
And I do think that now Will makes up a good point. The argument of Chris Duarte over Kessler Edwards, I just think that's a fact that Duarte's been in the league longer, and maybe Mike Brown just trusts him a little bit more. But it's definitely a conversation, because offensively, Duarte should be, I guess,
He should be better.
Much further than, yeah, than Kessler, but I don't know that he is.
No, yeah, I think if you just look at the numbers and like even just eye test performance wise, like I think that's been the one thing that I've been most disappointed with Duarte was, you know, the defense I actually thought was going to be the question, and I think his defense at the very least has been consistent. He's been consistently very handsy, very physical. You know, sometimes that does lead to a lot of fouls, but I would say his defensive effort has been consistent. The thing that I thought we would be able to rely on the most was his shooting. I just thought he was going to be a more consistent, a little bit more of a knockdown shooter, and he really hasn't been much different than, yeah, to Willie's point. Like, if you put in Kessler Edwards, we've seen Kessler Edwards already have a good game where he's knocked down a couple threes. Now, if Kessler Edwards hits two threes, that feels like you're kind of playing with house money at that point, and it feels like Duarte should bare minimum be able to hit two threes, but I think that's more where the frustration and maybe where the fact that Duarte's starting comes in is where Mike Brown just expects Duarte to be able to do these things, but he sees in the moments that he plays, I'm looking at how Duarte's minutes were allotted yesterday, played the first 10 minutes of the game, checked in the second quarter, the beginning of the second quarter, checked in for like 2 or 3 minutes, and then never saw the floor again. So clearly, Mike Brown is seeing something in that initial rotation that he doesn't want to go back to in the second half. And exactly, we've seen him in the second half, what, he went to a different starting lineup both days, right? I think Tuesday and Wednesday last night, he went to a different lineup to start the second half. So clearly, Mike Brown is trying to see something from Duarte that he's just not seeing, because I don't think you would trust somebody enough to throw them out to set the tone at the start of the game, but then second half just feel like, oh yeah, I actually don't have much use for him. I think there's something just fundamentally not that Chris Duarte is not doing that Mike Brown wants to see, and I don't know if it's hitting shots or if it's a defensive thing or not, but to me, it seems like it's missing shots.
Yeah, you just
like if he's making his shots, he's a lot more likely to stay out.
Right, and you're at that point, you're just trying to keep the ship from sinking because Keegan probably will be back
exactly
fairly soon. If this was a longer period of time, we might see some things change. So we'll see what happens there. Got to get to a break. When we get back, the Ringer had a big article about the Kings. We will break that down, and we will also talk about measuring success in Sacramento. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sactown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. as we get ready for, it's time to look forward now, right? It's time to look forward.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray, who rolled his ankle last night,
but he stayed in the game.
He stayed in the game.
Ooh.
And he's a guy, yeah, I mean, he has some weird injuries coming back from that hamstring. Obviously, he had the ACL a couple years ago. If he can stay healthy, I mean, that's part of the reason I think Denver Nugget fans might think that he's underrated. Well, I mean, got to stay on the court.
Got to stay on the court, yeah. I
mean, we see what he can do when he's on the court, right? Yeah. So we will get it up close. From what I saw, he stayed in the game, so I'm assuming he'll be playing on Saturday. And there's also a couple days until they play.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, if he twisted his ankle, like I believe, if I'm not mistaken, right, the Friday they're playing Phoenix, I mean, it's tough for me to think that he would play a back-to-back, especially if he's just coming off injury.
So we've talked a lot about the back-to-backs and how you react when you're in the back-to-back.
Yeah.
You have to go up against, and we'll talk, the Suns, Devin Booker had 8 points last night.
Did he really?
8 points. So the Suns, you got to go up against KD, Devin Booker on Friday.
Yep.
And then play the Kings. To me, Chris, I know they're the defending champs. How many games are you playing a team off their second game of their back-to-back?
Right.
That's a gotta-have-it game.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is a gotta have it game on Saturday. I don't care who you're playing.
If you have all the excuses yesterday, then Saturday you have none at all.
Zero.
None. Because also it is a travel one as well, where I don't even know if it would be better to, you know, have a home game on Friday and then have a road, but they're going to be on the road in Phoenix and then have to pack up their bags, fly out that night to Sacramento.
You gotta have to.
And then, yeah, if Jamal Murray's not going, you've got to take advantage of that, especially if you want to be at that different caliber of team. Like, yeah, sure, maybe, you know, six or five or six seeds might be able to drop one of those games. But if you want to be a three seed or a top four seed like you were last year, good teams don't let opportunities like that slide by. I mean, the records, every time, if you look at last year or in years past, teams beat the really good teams. The best teams have a fantastic record against teams above or below 500. And that's because when you're facing an inferior opponent, you have to take care of business. It's already hard enough to just try and go 500 against teams above 500. Mm-hmm. The way you really build out your record is by beating up on the worst teams in the NBA. And when one of the best teams in the NBA has the personnel of a team that might not be of that caliber. So if you don't have Jamal Murray, the Nuggets without Jamal Murray are not the best team in the Western Conference.
No.
You should be able to take advantage of that, or you should look to take advantage of that. And that's, that would also, I mean, you know, yeah, if they lose on Saturday, that brings up a lot of questions of, like, again, what does that mean about this team? Is that something, is this now something where we might need to take a different look at the ups and downs of this team, and are they consistent? We don't have to worry about that right now, but yeah, definitely a huge opportunity on Saturday that they have to take advantage of.
Well, I would assume Jamal Murray's a dog, and he's missed some time this season. Yeah. So I would assume, unless something happens Friday, he will be playing on Saturday.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to be able to keep him out.
I think so. I think they would keep him out. I think they, because of his injury history, I think they would be a lot more hesitant to play him on them. The question would be, is he going to play on Friday, really?
Right.
Like,
right.
You know, I think, I mean, obviously, if he doesn't play Friday, I think there's a much better chance that he plays on Saturday. But if he plays Friday, it feels like the chances of him playing on Saturday, in my opinion, would go down to like 20%, just because, when, especially like you said, I haven't seen him roll his ankle, but if he did roll his ankle yesterday, like, what's the point?
But he's
this early
in the game,
in the season. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, you just never know how those things heal or anything.
Right.
You just want to take it easy. Like, it's still working him back conditioning wise as well. Like, I just wouldn't be surprised if he does play on Friday that he sits on Saturday.
But no, that's
or
true.
Vice versa.
That's true. I feel like if he, kind of half of what you're saying, if he doesn't play Friday,
I would almost
high chance that he plays Saturday.
Yeah.
But I would disagree with you in saying I think if he plays Friday, I feel like they would be like, okay, he's rolling.
He's healthy
he's
enough
rolling.
To go.
Yeah,
then
he'll just go.
Going.
And you got to try to
chance for sure.
And if he's already been cleared and nothing happened on Friday, good luck trying to keep him out of that game.
Maybe
going
Friday's result
against,
also plays into that as well. Like,
yeah.
If they lose to Phoenix on Friday, maybe they're like, well, we can't afford to lose back-to-back games against good Western Conference opponents as well.
And let's not forget, it's Kentucky on Kentucky. He gets to go up against De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk. He playing.
We'll see. We'll see. I'm not gonna write anything down.
Well, yet. There are a couple different levels to this, right? You have the Kings losing to a fully loaded Nuggets team coming off of a pretty rough, pretty tough back-to-back.
Yeah.
How acceptable or unacceptable would that be if the Kings didn't get it done? Then you have the Kings losing to who would be the Nuggets without Jamal Murray, right? That would be completely unacceptable.
Yeah, that would be
if you get Reggie Jackson, right? And we're not talking about the Yankees here. If you get Reggie, come on now. That can't happen. So I don't even want to think about that because that won't happen. And we'll get an update tomorrow on Keegan.
Yes,
right. Because
there's
a good chance that you get Keegan back. So
I would guess, right. That's a great point.
We talked about the palate cleanser for the Warriors trying to get that against the Kings.
Yeah.
This could be a very good palate cleanser for the Kings. Not that they've been struggling or anything like that. But again, 10-7, when does your run begin? When do you go on that run? And not a huge run.
Right.
Just win a couple games. They did get the six.
Yep.
Right. They had a six-game winning streak. They went 6-0. So you had that one early on. But you need multiple, right? So you're staying away from you're too close to 500 right now. And the Kings know that. So I expect them to be on top of it as you go throughout the season.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm kind of looking at the schedule here, and I guess like there, if you can take advantage of Saturday, there is, you know, the NBA is so tough because every team, like, there's so many good teams that it's tough to get a stretch of like six easy opponents. But I guess it's one of the easier stretches you're going to get. If you can take care of a Denver team that might not have Jamal, you have Denver, Then you got New Orleans. We know that's going to be a test. But if you can get through those two, you then got Brooklyn. You've got a road game against the Clippers where you got to feel like you're going to have something for them, right? Mm-hmm. Like after yesterday, you got to feel like there's a little bit of get back there. And then you got Oklahoma City, who's a tough challenge. But then you got a Utah-Washington, not back-to-back, but two consecutive games there. There's like a chance that this is an easier stretch, and I'm just looking immediately after that. It's like Boston, Phoenix, Minnesota, and then it kind of lightens up a little bit as well. But there's just not many easy stretches until really the end. Like, we're talking post-Christmas at mm-hmm. this point. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough stretch here, but if anything, this is about as easy as it's going to get until mm-hmm. the end of Christmas.
So. There you go. So hopefully we'll continue to talk about it today and also tomorrow. Can the Kings get it done against a team coming off of a back-to-back? Got to get to a break. When we get back, switching over to a little bit of Niners talk. A lot of people have things to say. Colin Cowherd, Joy Taylor, about Jalen Hurts versus Brock Purdy. Do you really want to put a bigger chip on Brock Purdy's shoulder? We'll talk about it. Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
The Sacramento Kings conquered the Thunder, the Spurs, the T-Wolves, and Warriors for an undefeated run through Group C of the in-season tournament.
Tough ball away, bank shot is good! Malik Monk somehow banks it home, 7.4 seconds to go.
Now it's the knockout stage in a matchup with the New Orleans Pelicans.
Losers out, winners off to Las Vegas.
Join us for Kings and Pelicans, Monday at 7 on Sactown Sports and the Sactown Sports app.